1. Harvest. This is not now. This is then. This is when she was 17 years old. Moonlight bathes her as she lies in the long meadow grass and stares up at the stars. Around her the night insects sing their clicking songs. The wind is faint tonight, but she hears the voices within the breeze, their murmured lilt at the very edge of her senses. Her father's fathers and her mother's mothers are murmuring softly this eve, the spirits lulled by the calm night. It isn't always this way. The dead are rarely quiet. Sometimes, even often, the voices plead with her, or rage at her, desiring that she carry their wishes to the living. A rare few even threaten her, though she doesn't know what a mere spirit might do to cause her harm. The girl stares at the three moons in their ascendancy, at their familiar cratered faces. Thunder peals far away, rumbling over the southern mountains and drowning out the evening's subdued voices. She rises, turning south, seeking the storm. Instead of the black-grey thunderhead she expects, the sky over the mountains glows with flames. The clouds churn, orange-bellied as they writhe above the peaks, flickering with inner torment that lights up the distant night. A spaceship, she thinks. A spaceship is landing. It streams through the clouds, black-hulled and streaming smoky fire, shaking the entire world as it roars overhead. A castle in the sky, descending, drifting down towards the villages and the great city beyond. The spirits coalesce around her, their murmuring voices coloured by an emotion she has never heard in their tones before. She didn't know ghosts could feel fear. She hides in the forest, not far from her village. Not far enough. Not as far as she wishes to be, but as far as her legs will take her. Like a panting beast, she half digs her way into the wet earth, curling herself into the shadow of a fallen tree. Her throat is raw with straining breath. Her lips are cracked and dry. "The Imperium has returned," her mother had said. Her eyes were wet. Her voice was shaking. "They are gathering the shamans and the spirit speakers from every village." "Why?" the girl had asked. She heard the fear in her voice. Never had she felt less like a revered witch priestess of her people. "A tithe. Another tithe. One of souls and magic, not wheat and grain." "Run, Skoye," said her father, looking into her eyes. "Run and hide." The mothers of her mother and the fathers of her father had besieged her with agreement. The spirits, all of her ancestors, screamed at her to flee. Skoye fled, white dress streaming, hair loose, into the forest. Her people are part of the Imperium, so they are taught. Her grandmother told her of the Crusaders' coming, when the warriors from the Cradle World landed almost a century ago and brought the word of peace from humanity's emperor. The first Earth, now called Terra, silent all these thousands of years, wasn't a myth after all. The first Earth warriors had demanded compliance, and it had been given. They demanded tithes, and these were also given. Every year the grain haulers carry great portions of the annual harvest into the heavens to dock with the orbital platforms and await collection. This, it has always been believed, was enough. Mankind had been brought back together, each rediscovered world a jewel in the unknown emperor's crown. But no Imperial spaceships have made planetfall since the Crusaders departed all those years before. Not until now. Skoye hears dogs among her pursuers, barking and growling. The fear is enough to force her to her feet once more, staggering into a weak run. The spirits are hissing and agitated, yet she can scarcely hear them over the heaving of her breaths and the beat of her straining heart. Through the trees ahead she sees one of the hunting dogs, as much machine as beast, its fur stripped in places in favour of robot parts, as though it had suffered in an accident, and its owner had the credits required for expensive machine fusion. Its jaws are locked open, with a weapon pointing from inside its mouth. Behind it stands a woman, an imperial woman, her head shaven, her flesh marked with tattoos of eagles. She wears gold and bronze beneath a red cloak. Her eyes are as dead as the gaze of a body upon an unlit funeral pyre. Skoya turns and stumbles west. It's no use. She hears the dog bearing down behind her, its machine parts whining. It shoulders into her, throwing her from her feet. It stands above her, growling. The weapon in its mouth aims down at her face. The gold woman with the dead eyes draws nearer. And, for the very first time Skoya can remember, the spirits fall silent. No, not just silent. Banished. Gone.
"Leave me alone,"
the girl manages to say.
"Please, I've done nothing wrong."
The older woman says nothing. Skoya breathes raggedly in the silence left by the spirit's absence, staring up into the ice of the woman's corpse eyes.
"I see nothing inside you,"
she murmurs through trembling lips.
"You have no soul."